Well, amen. How are y'all this morning? Some of you are alive. Y'all heard about that tragedy they had in a church one time, where a man had a heart attack and died during the song service. And they called the ambulance and they came. And they carried 18 people out before they got to the right man. So how are y'all this morning? There you go. Hallelujah. Amen. My, didn't you enjoy those children singing a while ago? Amen. I'm sure some of you'd rather hear them than you had to hear me preach. But that ain't going to happen. The message today comes from the 110th Psalm. I'm sorry. Psalm 118. And the 118th Psalm talks about thankfulness. Now we have a day on our calendar every year that we celebrate Thanksgiving. And it's a marvelous time. It's a time for families to be together. And it's a time to really pig out and not feel guilty about it, even though you will pay the price days later. Because what goes over the lips always hangs on the hips. Amen. But it's a time for our nation just to pause and give thanks to God. And that's good and that's proper. But as I read the Word of God, God reminds us that we are to be thankful all the time. So the question this morning, as we're preparing for an emphasis on stewardship, I believe with all of my heart, before we can adequately approach the biblical subject of biblical stewardship, we have to realize, now some of us say, yeah, I understand that, I believe that, but your actions don't back up what you believe. We have to come to the conclusion that it all belongs to Him. And He just allows us to have a part of it. So open your Bibles, if you will, to Psalm 118. I want to read the first four verses. Would you stand in reverence to the reading of the Word of God? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, His mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, His mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, His mercy endures forever. Heavenly Father, how thankful that we are that You love us with a love that is beyond our actual really understanding. We thank You that You loved us enough to allow Your Son, our Savior Jesus, to go to the cross and pay the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. Now, Father, we realize that Your mercy endures forever. And we'd ask God that You'd speak to our hearts, challenge us. May we leave this place with a renewed acknowledgement. Not only does Your mercy endure forever, but the blessings that You choose to bestow upon us daily, what we enjoy, the material possessions that we enjoy in this life, it's all because of You. And I pray, God, that you'd encourage the discouraged, strengthen the weak, lift up the fallen, save those who are lost. We'll give praise, honor, and glory to our loving Lord and Savior Jesus, because it's in his name and for his sake that I ask these things. Amen. Thank you so much. Be seated. When it comes to thankfulness, basically there are two kinds of people, two classes of people. Those who take the things that come in life with gratitude, and those who take the things that come in life granted, for granted. We live in a day and a time where there's a prevailing thing in our culture that a great number of folks have raised up, and they have the idea that the world owes them something. Can I tell you this morning, can I make a profound statement this morning? Forgive me, English teachers. There ain't no free lunches. You say, well, we have them every day at school. Yeah, somebody pays for it. And I wish some of these up and coming, and I'll put it in quotes, politicians would get that through their numb skull. That you don't give away everything unless someone pays for it. So I think God wants us to be grateful. I think he wants us to be thankful. I think he wants us to appreciate all that he does and to be people who say, thank you, Lord. The Bible commands us time and time and time again. Here in verse 1, let's just praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for he's good, because his mercy endures forever. When our blessed Lord took bread in his hand and broke it, of course it was a symbol of his upcoming ordeal, which he was going to experience on the cross of Calvary. And we can be thankful that he did that. We can be thankful that all is well. And mature Christians who can follow the Lord's example and even be grateful. Now here was just hours before Jesus was going to pay the ultimate sacrifice on the cross of Calvary for my sin and your sin. And he broke that bread and he gave thanks to the Lord when everything was not well. So Paul could say, and he was one who had been, he'd been through it. And he could even say, even after all that he had been through, in everything, give thanks. Now it's hard to give thanks, I have to admit. It's hard to give thanks when things aren't going right. Can I have a testimony? That's yeah. It's easy to praise God in the sunshine when everything you touch turns to gold. But it's something different when the world bites you back. In everything, give thanks. And I believe Paul practiced what he preached, because he wrote that letter of encouragement to the Philippian Christians, as I heard one preacher say one time, to the Filipinos. But it's to the Philippians that he wrote that letter of encouragement. Guess where he was when he wrote that? He was in that Mamertine prison. And I've been there, and I've looked down into that lusty hole. And there he was. You cannot describe the misery that those prisoners experienced in that unholy and ungodly place. But Paul could say, praise God from whom all blessings flow. When the heart breaks, it's even evidence for us that we can praise God. We know that Jesus is Lord. The the person who has learned that suffering is a part of being made in the image of God, for God has some blessings for us down through our life. Suffering is only temporary unless you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. I read about a little girl who was forced to eat spinach and beets. I mean, we might have some children here today who may be forced to eat spinach and beets. And her mother asked her to say grace before they ate. And she said, "Mama, I'm not thankful for spinach and beets." So her mother said the grace, and they ate their lunch. And when she finished, mother told her, "Now, honey, you can't leave this table until you thank God for something." She thought for a moment and bowed her head. "Dear Lord, I'm thankful that this stuff didn't make me sick." Amen. Life is like that. There are some things that come our way that's not of our choosing, that we don't like. But thank God they don't make us spiritually sick to the point that we forget all of the good things that God has done for us. So I want us to consider two or three things this morning. I want us to think about God's general blessings upon people. That comes from the 111th Psalm, verses 1 and 2 and part of verse 5, where the psalmist said, "I'll give thanks to the Lord with all of my heart. Great are the works of God. He has given me food to those who fear them." Have you ever stopped, really stopped, and consider the treasures that are ours coming from the hands of our Creator? There's a middle-aged businessman, member of a church. He had a case of the mully grubs. You ever had a case of the mully grubs? Yeah, you don't look at me so spiritual. You have. Born in the objective case and the kickety mood. I don't like this. And why does this? Oh, and we have one of them pity parties. Yeah, we've all had them. Sit over there and get our lip all, get all, I like that expression, mule-lipped. And we say, "God, why do you let, God, do you know what's going on?" So he went to his pastor and he told him, said, "Preacher, I'm depressed. I'm so disgusted and discouraged." Preacher said, "I tell you what, can you spend an hour or two with me this afternoon?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I'll be by to pick you up around 2:00. So the first visit they made was to the nursing home, visit the shut-ins. There they saw people with clear minds but crippled bodies. Some were confined to their bed. Some were confined to wheelchairs. And then they saw some who had active bodies, but their minds were completely gone. They saw some who could hear real well, and they saw some who couldn't see. And when the hour was over, the wise pastor didn't moralize or sermonize, but he just silently prayed for his friend that he would get the message. And what he wanted him, this man, to leave saying was, "I can see the blue moon in the sky. I can see the faces of my family. I can hear the song that the birds sing every morning. I can hear the whisper of the wind and the laughter of my children and grandchildren. My mind is unimpaired. I have a roof over my head, food on my table, independence, and health enough to work and enjoy life. Hallelujah, glory to God. That ought to be all of our testimony. Instead of moping and complaining because we don't have this, or we can't go there, and we can't do this. Most of us have all of these things and even more. Thank God for the common blessings of life that are so often overlooked. I'm here to tell you, every time you get down in the dumps, just quit what you're doing, go to the nursing home, go to the hospital, and visit some folks, and you'll come out praising God. Thank God. I thank God for what He's given to me. I thank God that a man of my age can still move around. Oh, yeah, I can't go like I did when I was 30. If I could, y'all couldn't stand it, I'm here to tell you. But, as you can tell, I have plenty to eat. I'm not suffering from Miss Meal colic. God's given me a place. It's not three bedrooms and three baths and this and that. Thank God it's not three rooms and a path. Some of y'all catch that about 2 o'clock this afternoon. I thank God that it's a comfortable place and a pleasant place. I thank God for what family I have left. I've just about outlived them all. I thank God that they still laugh at my jokes that they've heard 40 or 50 times. Now listen, friend, what I'm trying to tell you is this. Don't wait till you lose such things to realize what their value is. One of the worst things about being an atheist, they don't have anybody to thank for what they've got. Think about that. And think about that April Fool's Day. You heard about this atheist who was suing a Christian group for what they was doing. And his defense to the judge was, Judge, these Christians, they have occasions on the calendar where they can do that. And even the government takes a national holiday for days like Christmas and Easter. And we don't have nothing. And the judge said, yes, you do. He said, what is it? April the 1st, it's April Fool's. The scripture says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The poet said, oh, where is the sea? The fishes cried out as they swam the Atlantic waters. Though we've heard of the sea and the ocean tide, we're long to gaze on it and its waters blue. Look all around. See God. Thank God. Secondly, you need to consider God's individual blessings. We need to be thankful not only for the general blessings of God that we enjoy as members of the human race, but for the personal, individual treasures He's specifically given to each of us. The psalmist said there in verse 5 and 6, I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? We are among billions of people on the face of the earth. But God will not allow us to get lost in the crowd. He's not like the old woman who lived in a shoe that had so many children it didn't know what to do. But He is like the psalmist who said in Psalms 139:13, For you formed me in my inward part and covered me in my mother's womb. He knows the numbers of the hairs on our head. Now, some of you sitting here, it don't take too much to know what's left. Hello? You say, well, you got gray hair. I'd rather it turn gray than turn loose. But in the 10th chapter of Matthew, Jesus was telling his disciples that God's concerned about everyone. He said he's concerned about the sparrow. He said, not a sparrow falls to the ground that God's not concerned about it. And you're worth more than sparrows. And besides that, he knows you like no one else knows you. He numbers all the hairs on your head. All of us, if I would stop and listen, have record of things that God has done just for us. Countless prayers. I could tell you. Y'all listen fast. I just want to share this one. It's a good. And remember, if you've heard it, I've lived long enough, I earn the right to repeat myself. About 3 months after my wife went home to be with the Lord, I was sitting out on my back deck, which is my favorite place to sit, looking out across my, what used to be a garden, and out across the field. Have a bird feeder out there, and it's almost exclusively redbirds and bluebirds come to it. And I was reading the Bible and praying, and I just prayed a prayer something like this. I said, Lord, I know it's Thursday. I know it's late. I don't have a place to preach Sunday. I sure would love to have a place to preach. And went on, read some scriptures, sat there for a couple hours, and the next morning, about 10 o'clock, Randy calls me. He said, hey, preacher, you got a place to preach tomorrow? I said, no, I don't. He said, well, you do now. I said, where is that? He said, it's Central Baptist in Spring Hill. I said, oh, I thought Wayne Dubose was going to be there interim. Well, he's supposed to be up there that day, and they're supposed to vote on it, but he's in the hospital with kidney stones. The next time I saw Wayne, I said, Wayne, don't feel bad about me. I said, God gave you kidney stones so he could answer my prayer. They're special friends. Oh, listen. I could spend a week talking about special friends that God's allowed to come into my life over the years, and he designed them with me in mind. And God gives us our life mates, our husbands, our wives, and our children that are fitted just for us. Talents that we never knew we had, just suited for the job that God has for us to do. I read this story about a preacher who tells this story about how God dealt in his life. He said, I'll never forget when I was in the 9th grade, that's when I asked Jesus into my heart. I asked God to let me grow a half an inch a month and to gain 3 pounds a month. Sooner or later, folks learned how to quit praying those kind of prayers. He said, I nailed a board to the barn wall, and I measured and weighed myself on the 10th of every month. Up that stick, the scales went and the inches went, gaining 50 pounds and in 8 inches. And at the age of 13, God called me to preach. Never will forget that day. I was driving off to seminary, and all my earthly belongings were in a small U-Haul trailer. I asked God to give me a godly wife. 3 years later, He let my path cross Mary Ann's in a Sunday school class, and the rest is history. I'll never forget Him giving me Mount Carmel Baptist Church, His first church while He was in seminary, and then Haddock Baptist Church when I graduated, and this church when my ministry at Haddock was completed. Listen, friends, God has guided and guarded our footsteps all through life. You say, well, I don't have much to be thankful for. Well, I won't tell you why. It's because you don't ask. The scripture reminds us that James said, you have not because you ask not. I like what Spurgeon said years ago. Tread the jewels of grace upon the thread of memory and hang them around the neck of praise. There's a special side of this that is thanking the people. Thanking the people who most of God's people have received personal blessings. Most of us, if not all of us in here, can name people who have really been used of God to bless your life. Maybe it's your husband, maybe it's your wife, your children, or a special friend. William Stockner was talking about the poverty of the times back during the Depression. He was talking with a fellow minister. They wondered, Thanksgiving was coming up in a few days. They wondered how they could preach on Thanksgiving when their people were living on the edge of stark poverty. And he went into a state of depression, thinking about it. And to rise out of that, he thought about a school teacher who taught him to love poetry. And he wrote her a note just to thank her. A few days later, he got this response. Dear Willie, I can't tell you how much your note meant to me. I'm in my 80s, living alone in a small room, cooking my own meals, lonely, and like the last leaf of autumn, lingering behind. You'll be interested to know that I taught in school for 50 years, and yours is the first note of appreciation I've ever received. It came on a blue, cold morning, and it cheered me like nothing has in many years. And that letter literally moved him to tears. Brought so much joy to his life and the rest of his life that he wrote letters, notes of thanks to thank people for what they've done and how they've touched his life and make life a little brighter for him. Husband, I want to ask you, have you thanked your wife for the joys that she's brought to you? Husband, wives, have you thanked God for your husbands? I know, warts and all. But God placed them in your life and they've been a blessing to you. Children, have you thanked your parents? Friends, have you thanked your friends? I want to tell you, when you do that, you're going to bring unspeakable joy to them, to yourself as well. Thirdly, we want to look at God's spiritual blessings in verse 1 and 22 of our text. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. As good as all of this is, God's greatest gifts and the ones that deserves our highest praise are spiritual things. He is a God of mercy. Aren't you glad? I'm glad. I attended a wild game supper at my home church last night. And a good friend of mine is born and raised up around Sarepta, Johnny Couch, who sang and played in local honky-tonks with Trace Atkins when they were teenagers. Johnny's given his heart and his talent to the Lord. And he sang a song that mercy walked in. Mercy came when grace walked in. And oh, thank God that He has delivered us, not just from the penalty of sin, but from the power of sin to damage, not only to damage your life, but to damn your life. And that verse 22 talks about the cornerstone. Of course, it's talking about Jesus. Peter talked about it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. And I'm not going to take time to read it. It's there on the screen for you to look at. The world sees Jesus as a worthless rock, but He is not one to be thrown away. He's one to follow and to love. Paul was like most preachers I knew. He seldom at a loss for words. But at one time he was, sitting in the same prison cell that he wrote the epistle to the Philippians, he wrote Colossians. And he said, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." What is Paul saying when he's saying unspeakable? I think he was saying what I think about Jesus and what He's done for me and what He's done, the provision He's made for the entire world. I just can't, as articulate as Paul was, he said, "I just cannot think of the words adequate." I heard old Dr. R.G. Lee pray one time when he was praising God for His marvelous gift. And he said, "Lord, when I think about all that You've done for a sorry, rotten to the core sinner like me." And here was a man, when he was 21, had 30,000 words in his vocabulary. He said, "Lord, a woeful sense of inadequacy oppresses me as I try to find a word to thank You." Oh, look where you are today. If you're a child of God, through your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, some of you have accepted Him and you got in the kingdom and you sit down. You need to get off of your blessed assurance and start doing what God has called you to do. Oh, listen, when I think about my life and I think of what could have happened if I hadn't asked Jesus into my heart, I tell you, I'm convinced I would have been an alcoholic because I was raised in that environment. And I was encouraged to drink that stuff. I like what O.R.G. Lee called it. He called it frog gin. Drink a little, hop a little, and croak. I was raised up around that. When someone came to our house, they wasn't offered a cup of coffee. They wasn't offered a Coca-Cola. They were offered a beer. If they didn't want a beer, they were offered a drink, a mixed drink. And that would have been my lifestyle. But you know what? God already had plans for me. Tim, I had no idea. But he put the best looking woman that ever walked the face of the earth in my path. She became my wife. The love of my life. And I found out right quick, she wasn't going to put up with booze in her house. I even had to tell my daddy, Daddy, don't come here anymore with a beer in your hand, because Pat's not going to let you in. She might have been short in stature, 5 foot tall if she stood on her tiptoes. But I want to tell you, she was dynamite when she got riled. That could have been my lifestyle. But a glorious thing happened. I got saved and was born into the kingdom of God. And my life turned around. And oh, I look back and I see how God has orchestrated things. Oh, listen, let's give thanks to the Father for what He's done for us. 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son Jesus up Calvary's mountain to the old rugged cross. He was willing to go. He didn't go kicking and screaming. He went willingly. Why? Because He loved. I love that John 3:16. I like to read it like this, because this is exactly what it means. God so loved Everett Geis that He gave His only Son, Jesus, so Everett Geis could have eternal life and live with Me for all eternity. The gospel hymn, and I'm a lover of gospel music, the gospel hymn had it right when it said, when He was on the cross, I was on His mind. Jesus died for me. And for much of my life, I didn't care. I was mildly religious. I believed in that person, Jesus, but I didn't know Him. The Holy Spirit of God got a hold of me one day, and I turned to know Christ as my Savior and as my Lord. He sought me. You know, Jesus said why He came? I came to seek and to save that which is lost. In those days when a shepherd had a sheep that got lost, he didn't wait till the sheep found its way back, because it couldn't. And you and I, or any individual, cannot by yourself come into a proper relationship with God. The Holy Spirit of God has to touch your heart. And when that Holy Spirit of God begins to stir your heart, you begin to have thoughts about God. And the Holy Spirit of God brings you to a place of repentance. Oh, the shepherd goes out to find the sheep. What does he do when he finds them? He takes them in his arms. Oh, glory, hallelujah, for that day when the great shepherd reached down and took me in his loving arms. Oh, be thankful. I'll close with this illustration. You remember Charles Colson? He was up to his neck in the mess of Watergate. And while in prison, he became a Christian. He asked Jesus to come into his life. And he said, here's what he says, that for years he kept all the cartoonists in business as they poked fun at him and his faith. He served his time in prison. He established a ministry to prisoners. He was bravely battling cancer ever since his conversion. And he said that the worst day he had ever known as a child of God in prison and battling cancer were better than the best days he had before he came to the Lord Jesus. And on the screen is a verse of scripture. I want you to commit to memory. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks and I give you praise, dear Lord, for the privilege of being in this place today, to be able to stand and preach your word today. I give you thanks and I give you praise. Now, Lord, in this auditorium today, there are people who need to make a decision. Some need to decide whether or not they're going to follow Jesus. Some need to decide if they're going to ask Christ into their heart and in their life. I'd ask you, Father, to have your way in every heart and every life. We'll give you praise for what you do and how you choose to do it. It's in Jesus' name I pray. While we stand, while we sing this song of invitation, I invite you to do whatever it is the Spirit of God has impressed you to do. You do it while we sing.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it. Crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
I want us to bow our heads for a moment, every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you to do something. I believe it'll honor God and it'll bless you and bless other folks. You're worshiping in this place today. There's someone here that God placed in your life, and they really blessed you. Maybe your mate, maybe your parents, maybe your children, maybe be a friend that's in this place. While our invitation is being played softly, just slip out of your pew and go to them and tell them. Don't wait till you're standing over their casket and say how much they meant to you. Do it right now.